4.16.
किम कर्म किम कर्मेति कुर्वतोऽप्यत्र मोहितः
कव्योऽप्यत्र मोहितः
किम कर्म किम कर्मेति कवयोऽप्यत्र मोहितः
कव्योऽप्यत्र मोहितः
तत्ते कर्म प्रवक्ष्यामि
तत्ते कर्म प्रवक्ष्यामि
यज्ञात्वा मोक्ष्यसे शुभात्
यज्ञात्वा मोक्ष्यसे शुभात्.
So in the previous few shlokas, Krishna spoke that he performs so many activities, but still he is not attached to them or entangled by them. One who understands this and performs his activities will also not be entangled. That's the message that Krishna gave in the last two verses, 14th and 15th verses of this chapter. So from the 16th verse, Krishna describes that how to actually act. So you are acting, means you are doing karma, but it is as good as not acting a karma. How is it possible? So Krishna will describe the intricacies of this karma and akarma in the next several verses. First Krishna says that kim karma kim akarmeti, what is karma, action, and what is akarma, inaction. Kavayopi atra mohitaha. Even great learned people, scholars also may get bewildered in trying to understand what is karma and what is akarma. Meaning is clear? Kim karma, kim akarmeti, kavayopi atra mohitaha. Fine. Next. Tatte karma pravakshyami yadgnatva mokshase shubhat. Tatte karma pravakshyami means I will explain to you that is what is karma. Yajnatva mokshase ashubhat. By knowing this, you will be delivered from all inauspiciousness. Mokshase ashubhat. So, Prabhupada writes, action in Krishna consciousness has to be executed in accordance with the examples of previous bona fide devotees. So, earlier some people have acted in a very exemplary way. We need to follow in their footsteps. Therefore, one has to follow in the footsteps of previous authorities in the line of disciplic succession. Otherwise, even the most intelligent men will be bewildered regarding the standard actions of Krishna consciousness. What is karma? What is akarma? People cannot understand unless they follow the footsteps of great souls. Okay. Next. Prabhupada concludes the purport saying like this. Only action performed in Krishna consciousness can deliver a person from the entanglement of material existence. Ultimately, whatever karma that we need to do is supposed to be Krishna conscious karma. Then there is no entanglement. This is ultimate essence that Prabhupada gives in the purport. Now, Krishna says that I will explain to you the intricacies of karma and akarma. Let's see, 17th shloka.
Karmano yapi bodhavyam.
Karmano yapi bodhavyam.
Bodhavyam cha vikarmanah.
Bodhavyam cha vikarmanah.
Akarmanascha bodhavyam.
Akarmanascha bodhavyam.
Gahana karmano gatih.
Gahana karmano gatih.
Karmano yapi bodhavyam. I will describe to you, I will teach you what is karma. Bodhavyam cha vikarmanah. What is vikarma? Vikarma means bad karma or forbidden karma. Karma which you are not supposed to do. Okay, karma is action which you are intended to do, which you are supposed to do. And vikarma is an action which you are not supposed to do. And akarmanascha bodhavyam, I will also describe to you what is akarma, means inaction. There is a difference between akarma and vikarma. You understand? Karma is action. Akarma is inaction, means not doing your action. Vikarma is doing forbidden action, doing something which you are not supposed to do. In akarma, there is no karma. In vikarma, there is a bad karma. Fine? Karma is just action, which is prescribed for you. Vikarma is doing a wrong action. Akarma is not doing any action only. Fine? So, gahana karmano gatihi. So, very difficult to understand this. This karma thing. So, three terminologies Krishna introduces. Karma, akarma and vikarma. Now he is going to explain all these things. So some people may see that, oh, I have done this, it's all my fate, my destiny. No, it's not like that. Your action is not your destiny. The result of your action is the destiny. So one cannot act in certain way and say, I am induced by my destiny to act in this way. Yeah, destiny also kind of induces a person to act in some way, but at any point, we have an opportunity to make a choice. Okay? So we have some independence by which we can act in this way or that way. And the result is called destiny. Fine. And as a result of this action, you may have to be obliged to do another action that becomes a part of your destiny. But at that time also you have some independence to do some action. Fine. So destiny is always a result of one's activity. Okay. That in to certain degree influences your future activity also. Okay. So one has to apply oneself to such an analysis of action, reaction and perverted actions because it is very difficult subject matter. One who has learned perfectly knows that every living entity is an eternal servitor of the Lord and that consequently one has to act in Krishna consciousness. Ultimate action is action in bhakti. 18th sloka. Karmanya karma yah pasyed akarmani cha karma yah sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta krishna karma krit. Krishna says, karmanya hi akarma yah pasyed. In your karma, if you see akarma, means seeing inaction in action. There is action happening, but you see that as inaction, means as good as not acting only. Second, akarmani cha karmanah. Okay, seeing action in inaction. Fine. So two things Krishna is saying here, basically in the first two lines. Somebody is acting, still that is as good as inaction. And somebody is not acting at all, still it is as good as action. How is this? Seeing action in inaction and inaction in action. So if you are able to do that, sa buddhiman manushyeshu, you are a great buddhiman, you are a very intelligent person. Sayuktaha krishna karma krit. So he will not be entangled by his actions, although he is engaged in so many activities. Is it clear? It's not clear. It will not be clear immediately. So because Krishna will spend several verses ahead to explain this point. So as of now, 18th sloka, you just understand this much. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is an intelligent person. Fine. So he is in transcendental position. Although he is engaged in so many activities, he is transcendental. Action may apparently seem to be material activity, but he is doing a transcendental activity because he has an understanding, he has a vision to see karma in akarma and akarma in karma. So what it means to see akarma in karma or karma in akarma? So we need to see this. From 19th sloka till 24th sloka, Krishna will explain inaction in action or akarma in karma. Fine. You are doing karma, it is as good as akarma. So karma is performing your prescribed duties. That is called karma. Akarma is not performing your prescribed duty in one sense, in some contexts. Akarma is sinful. If you do not perform your prescribed duties, that is sinful. Okay, Krishna spoke this. When Krishna spoke this in the second chapter, if you go to second chapter, 47th sloka, where is it? Karmanyeva adhikarasye mafaleshu kadachana ma karma fela hetur bhur mate sangostu akarmani. So you have the adhikar to do karma. He said this. In the last line he said, mate sangostu akarmani, never be attached to not doing your work. You understand? So karma is prescribed duty. If you abandon your prescribed duty, that is called akarma, which is sinful. That is in the context of 2nd chapter 47th verse. But here, Krishna is bringing another kind of topic. Here he says, karma is doing your prescribed duties that involves dealing with matter. Akarma is doing your prescribed duties without any attachment to results, without any desire for results. Fine. Without any spirit of enjoying the results. That is as good as not doing an activity. So you are cooking, but you have no desire to eat what you have cooked. Fine. So it is as good as not cooking only. You are not cooking in the sense that you are not looking for a specific type of enjoyment that comes out of your cooking. There is no attachment involved in you. There is no desire to cook. And there is no spirit of enjoying the result of that cooking. But you are cooking dutifully. As a duty you are cooking. So that is as good as akarma. All the action is there. So basically what Krishna is trying to say here is what he has already said earlier in the third chapter. Inaction in action. Although you are acting, because you don't have desires, because you don't have a spirit of enjoyment, it's as good as not acting on a material plane. Fine. Let's discuss the details. In the next five or six slokas, Krishna describes this. Okay, what is inaction in action? See, so that is basically detached work. A person who does like this is called karma yogi or a detached worker. Okay. Karma yogi or a detached worker is, he does work, he does karma, but it is as good as akarma because there is yoga added there. Okay, because he is working for the Supreme. He has no attachment to the results. Let's go into details. So this section from 19 to 24 describes the qualities of a person who is in the state of inaction or having no reactions to action. 19th sloka. Yasya sarve samarambhah,
yasya sarve samarambhah,
kama sankalpa varjitah,
kama sankalpa varjitah,
jnanagni dagdha karmanam,
jnanagni dagdha karmanam,
tamahu panditam buddhah,
tamahu panditam buddhah,
yasya sarve samarambhah,
yasya sarve samarambhah,
kama sankalpa varjitah,
kama sankalpa varjitah,
jnanagni dagdha karmanam,
jnanagni dagdha karmanam,
tamahu panditam buddhah,
tamahu panditam buddhah.
Krishna says, yasya sarve samarambhah. A person will do arambha, will begin all kinds of activities. So arambha is beginning, or arambha could also mean engaging. A person might engage in all sorts of work. Fine. Yasya sarve samarambhah. Kama sankalpa varjitaha. How does he engage in these activities? Kama sankalpa varjitaha. Being devoid of any desire for enjoyment. Sense enjoyment. Generally people work to get enjoyment from that work. But here is a person who has no spirit of enjoying on a sensual plane as a result of his work. He just does it. Fine. Dutifully he does it. In an exemplary way he does it. Kama sankalpa varjitah. Why? He has the knowledge that I am not entitled for the fruits of this action. Okay, I am not supposed to be the enjoyer of fruits of action. I am only engaging in this work dutifully. So, jnanagni dagdha karmanam. Because he has this knowledge that every activity is to be directed to the Supreme, it should be done as an offering to the Supreme Lord, not for seeking sense gratification, because he has that jnana, he has that knowledge. Dagdha karmanam, all the reactions to his work are completely burnt. So here, dagdha karmanam, this word karma in the third line is referring to the reactions of activity. Fine. Karma can mean action, karma could mean reaction also. Karma can mean a fruitive action, means an action which is intended to get some result. Or karma could be indicating the chain of full actions and reactions. Fine. So we need to understand the context in which the word karma is used. Okay. So, Jnanagni Dagdha Karmanam, because he is acting with this deep mature knowledge, that knowledge burns away all the reactions to his work. When will you get reaction for your activity? When there is an attachment to the action and there is an attachment to the result of that action. When there is no material attachment to the activity that you are doing, you are not entangled in the bondage of the reaction of that action. Fine. So, tamahuhu panditam buddhaha. Such a person is called a pandit, a great soul. So, knowledge burns up actions. Krishna is speaking transcendental knowledge in this chapter. Now, he is glorifying that knowledge. If you work in knowledge, you will not be entangled by the work. Fine. The 19th sloka is that. So, Prabhupada writes about pure bhakti here. Because the person in Krishna consciousness is devoid of all kinds of sense gratificatory propensities, it is to be understood that he has burnt up the reactions of his work by perfect knowledge of his constitutional position. So, 20th sloka. Tyaktva karma phala sangam,
tyaktva karma phala sangam,
nityatripto nirashraya,
nityatripto nirashraya,
karmanya bhipravritto api,
karmanya bhipravritto api,
naiva kinchit karoti saha,
naiva kinchit karoti saha,
tyaktva karma phala sangam. Now 20th shloka, Krishna describes the practice or sadhana, the Aruruksu stage of cultivating this jnana and thus coming out of bondage of reactions. He says, Tyaktva karma phala sangam. You should give up attachment to the results of your activities. Fine. Karma phala is a result of activities. Sangam. Give up the attachment to that results. Tyaktva means giving up. Nitya tripto. Always be satisfied. Next, nirashrayaha, be independent. Don't take ashraya of the results of your actions. Be nirashrayaha, means don't be dependent on the results of your activities. Okay, basically one should be dependent on Krishna. He is the supreme ashraya tattva. But here, when it said nirashrayaha means be independent, it's not being independent of Krishna. It is being independent of material activities. Okay, your sustenance or your happiness or your satisfaction is not dependent on the result of your material actions, although you may be doing it. For example, a kshatriya is fighting or a brahmana is teaching or vaishya is doing different agriculture and crop production activities. So, there is certainly some results of those activities, but they are not attached to those results. Okay, their happiness or their satisfaction of heart is in the way of doing the activity for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord than to enjoy sense gratification from the result of that activity. Fine. So, nitya tripto nirashrayaha karmani abhipravrittopi naiva kinchit karoti saha. So, such a person who has detachment from results, who is always satisfied from within, such a person is karmani abhipravrittopi, although he is engaged in all sorts of karma, naiva kinchit karoti saha, it is as good as he is not doing anything only. Now you saw akarma in karma. So you are doing activity, but just that you don't have attachment, you are satisfied within, you have no enjoying spirit, so you are as good as not doing an activity. And this is the practice that one needs to do. Give up attachment and be satisfied and don't be dependent on the results. Fine? So this is the practice stage of Karma Yogi. Now, that will free us from bondage. And there is a perfect stage of Karma Yogi, 21 to 23. We'll see.
Nirashiryata chittatma.
Tyaktva sarva parigraha,
tyaktva sarva parigraha,
shariram kevalam karma,
shariram kevalam karma,
kurvannapnoti kilbisham,
kurvannapnoti kilbisham.
So like that there are so many verses, three verses are there describing the stage of perfection. A perfect karma yogi, a person who is perfectly performing his activities without any attachment to results. What are his qualities? Krishna says, number one, nirashir. 21st sloka, first word is nirashir. Nirashir means free from desires. Nirashir yata chitta atma. Chitta atma, his own senses and mind and consciousness is controlled. Yata chitta atma means he has self-control. Nirashi, no desires. Two, yata chitta atma, self-controlled. Three, tyaktva sarva parigraha. He has given up a sense of proprietorship or possessiveness towards any of the results of his activities. Right? No sense of proprietorship. Fourth, shariram kevalam karma. He just acts for the bare necessities of life. Shariram kevalam, just to maintain his body, he has to do some work. He is doing that. That's all. Next, kurvan na apnoti kilbisham. Such a person will not incur any sin by doing his activities. Fine. So this is akarma in karma. Fine. Five things. One is nirashir. Second, yata chittatma. Three, tyaktva sarva parigraha. No sense of proprietorship. Then shiriram kevalam karma. Doing work only for bodily maintenance. Then kurvan napnoti kilbishaha. No kilbisha. No sin incurred. Next sloka. Yadrichaya labha santushto.
Yadrichaya labha santushto.
Yadrichaya labha santushto.
Yadrichaya labha santushto.
Dvandvatito vimatsaraha.
Dvandvatito vimatsaraha.
Samaha siddhava siddhaucha.
Samaha siddhava siddhaucha.
Kurva kritva pinani badhyate.
Kritva pinani badhyate.
Kur yadrichha labha santushto.
Yadrichha labha santushto.
Dvandvatito vimatsaraha.
Dvandvatito vimatsaraha.
Samaha siddhava siddhaucha.
Samaha siddhava siddhaucha.
Kritva pinani badhyate.
Kritva pinani badhyate.
Yadrichha labha santushto. Yadrichha means by the will of providence. Labha, whatever gain that you get, santushto, you are satisfied. So Prabhupada gives one nice story. Once there is a dog that got some chapati or bread, something like that. Just it held it. And the dog held it in his mouth. It went in front of a reservoir of water. He saw inside the water, there is another dog holding a bread in his mouth. This dog became greedy for that bread also. So the dog wanted to just jump in and then pick it up. Okay, just in that attempt, the dog just opened its mouth and that bread fell into the water. And he saw that dog inside the water, its bread also fell down. So then he understood, I don't know whether he understood, basically that's a reflection of the dog. So whatever little food that this dog got, if he eats that and then be satisfied, then there is no problem. But because this dog became very greedy for another dog's food, then he lost his own food also. So Prabhupada gives this sloka, gives this example in the context of Ishopanishad verse. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Tena tyaktena bhunjita. You have to enjoy whatever is set aside as your quota. Fine. So, yadrichha labha santushto means being happy and satisfied with whatever you receive of its own accord. Okay, without becoming so greedy to accumulate more and more. Yadrichha labha santushto. Next is dvandvatito. One should be beyond these dualities. Dvandva. So, happiness, distress, hell, heaven, success, defeat. So all these are dualities in this world. Ultimately, they are all temporary. They are like waves on the river. Sometimes the water on the surface of a flowing river may go little up. Sometimes it will go down. Go up, go down. Go up, go down. The volume of the water that went up, high tide or whatever, that will not stay there for a longer time. In the next moment, it will go down. Similarly, the happiness that is coming in our life will not stay permanently. It will become distress after some time. Again we may get happiness, again we may get distress. And the specific flavor of happiness that we get today, someone else will get. Tomorrow we may not get it. Today you got first rank in your exam. Tomorrow someone else will get first rank. Right? So like that, we need to understand that these dualities are temporary. So that's why dvandva atito, you are beyond these dualities. Next, vimatsaraha means no envy. Someone else is getting successful. You should not feel so bad or insecure or jealous towards that person. So there should not be any envy towards someone else's success. Okay? So you attain success based on your honest efforts and you be satisfied with it. And someone else is attaining success in a different way, let him be satisfied with that. Why should that create a feeling of envy or insecurity in your heart? You are getting the results of your own activities. Fine. So, no, there should not be any matsara, envy. So, you are doing your activities sincerely, but there is no envy in you. That means your karma is as good as akarma. These are different symptoms of a person who is doing karma yoga, who is working, yet not working. Right? So, your work should continue, but these negative tendencies in the heart should not be there. That will affect the quality of your work. Next, vimatsarah is envy. No envy. Samaha siddha vasiddhaucha. Equanimity. Next quality is equanimity. Siddhi asiddhi. Whether it is victory or defeat, whether it is success or failure, you be equipoised. That does not mean you don't work properly. You must do your duty very responsibly. But just whatever result comes, just be happy with that. One should not, for example, somebody writes an exam, preparing for the exam is in his hands. Question paper is not in his hands. Writing the exam is in his hands. How many marks he gets, that depends. He cannot actually guess. So one should not be overwhelmed with success. Oh, I got first rank today. I am a great scholar now. So one should not be so elated with that success. At the same time, one should not be so depressed that, I failed in the exam, I am useless, I will commit suicide. That is another extreme, depression. Other extreme is, I got first rank, I am the best person, I am the best student, you should not feel so proud of it. So, too much of happiness in success and too much of depression in defeat or failure. So, this kind of extreme emotions, one should not become a victim of such extreme emotions. Fine. So, samaha siddha vasiddhaucha, be equipoised in this. So, next is kritva bina nibadhyate. If you are in this mentality, although you are engaging in so many activities, na nibadhyate, there is no bandhan, there is no entanglement in this. Next sloka. Gatasangasya muktasya jnanavasthita chetasaha yajnaya charatah karma samagram praviliyate. Gatasangasya muktasya means unattached to material nature or material activities. Okay. Material modes. Gata sangasya means no attachment. Muktasya means same thing, liberated or unattached. Next is jnana avasthita chetasaha. You are fully situated in jnana, transcendental knowledge. You are knowledgeable. Your actions are not blind actions. They are mature actions. They are knowledgeable actions. They are activities with due discrimination that is required to perform those activities. Right? Jnana avasthita chetasaha. You are not blindly doing something. You are not whimsically doing something. You are doing with sufficient knowledge. Right? Transcendental knowledge. Third, yajnaya acharatah karma. Very important line. That is connecting us to the next verse and the next section also. Yajnaya acharatah karma. Karma is activity. Acharatah means performance of that activity. Yajnaya, for the sake of yajna. What is this yajna? Yajna can mean different things. One, yajna is a sacrifice. Generally, it is understood to be fire sacrifice, what you do every day here in front of your building. Yajnaya is a fire sacrifice. Yajna can also mean any activity that is performed with some result of it. So, any activity also can be called as yajna. Fine. Yajna could be fire sacrifice, yajna could be any activity. And yajna can also mean the lord of activity, the master of activity, the bestower of the results of that activity, that is referring to the Supreme Lord. One of the names of the Supreme Lord is yajna. So we need to understand the context in which we are using this word. Yajnaya acharataha karma. Acharya say that you should act for the sake of yajna, means Krishna. For the sake of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Lord Krishna, you have to perform your activities. Yajnaya acharataha karma. Is it clear? Samagram praviliyate. If you perform your activities in this consciousness, then you will not incur any reactions. One will merge into transcendence. Is it clear? So, these three verses, verses number 21, 22 and 23, that describe the stage of perfection of karma yoga. So, a siddha or a person who is in arudha stage, right, a person who has attained perfection in his karma yoga process will have these qualities. Nirashir, yata chittatma, tyaktva, sarva parigraha and all these things. So, the important key line here is performing your activities for the pleasure of yajna or the Supreme Lord. So, this third line of this shloka, 23rd shloka, yajnaya acharata karma, will take us to the next section. So, if one performs activities for the purpose of yajna, what type of yajna is that? Okay. What type of activity should you perform by which you please the Supreme Lord? Okay. Now, Krishna will explain it in the next shloka. Very beautiful. Very popular shloka also. Brahmarpanam Brahma Havir.
Brahmarpanam Brahma Havir.
Brahmagnau Brahmana Hutam.
Brahmagnau Brahmana Hutam.
Brahmaivatena Gantavyam.
Brahmaivatena Gantavyam.
Brahma Karma Samadhinam.
Brahma Karma Samadhinam.
So, Brahma Arpanam Brahma Havir. Here the word Brahma means spiritual. So again, the word Brahma can mean multiple things in multiple contexts. Brahma could mean Lord Brahma. Brahma could mean spirit soul. Brahman could mean Parabrahma, that is Supreme Lord also. Brahman may sometimes refer to the universe also. And Brahman basically could mean spiritual, not material, non-material. Sometimes Brahma could mean the impersonal Brahmajyoti also. We need to understand the context in which this word is used. So, in this context, as Prabhupada explains in the purport very beautifully, so Brahman is spiritual. You see the last line of the 24th purport in the first page of the 24th sloka. The word Brahma remains spiritual. The Lord is spiritual. The rays of His transcendental body are called Brahma Jyoti, His spiritual effulgence. Everything that exists is situated in that Brahma Jyoti, but when the Jyoti is covered by illusion or maya or sense gratification, it is called material. Fine. So, Brahman here is spiritual. Now, when Krishna is saying that yajnaya acharataha karma, you have to perform your activity for the pleasure of yajna, the Lord of yajna, the Supreme Lord. What kind of yajna you should perform? What is the nature of that yajna? Yajna is the process of your work. Yajna is also the Supreme Lord, who is the object of your work, right? Whom you are supposed to please by that work. So, he says, Brahma Arpanam. Whatever oblations that you offer in the sacrifice, that is spiritual. Spiritual oblations. Brahma Arpanam means spiritual oblations. Brahma Havir. So, you take some instrument to offer that oblations, right? You every day in this offering, he takes that wooden spoon and then takes some ghee from that and then offers into the yajna. Fine. Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havir. Means your oblations are spiritual and the instruments with which you are offering the oblations are also spiritual. Clear? Second line. Brahma Agnav. The agni in which you are offering this oblation, that is also spiritual. Brahmana Hutam. Hutam is the person, the priest, who is actually performing the yajna. He is also spiritual. Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havir, Brahmagnav, Brahmana Hutam. Spiritual oblations with spiritual instruments in spiritual fire by a spiritual person. Is it clear? First two lines. Next. Brahmaivatena gantavyam. By performing this sacrifice, what destination that this person will achieve? Brahmaivatena gantavyam. Gantavya means the destination that you are supposed to reach. That is also spiritual. Fine? So, Brahma Karma Samadhina. Why your destination is spiritual by doing this? Because Brahma Karma Samadhina, you are absorbed in Brahma Karma, means spiritual activities. Samadhi means absorption, trance. When you are absorbed in spiritual activities by offering spiritual oblations with spiritual instruments in spiritual fire by a spiritual person, you will get a spiritual destination. Is it clear? Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havir, Brahmagnav, Brahmana Hutam, Brahmaivatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. Six Brahmas are there. Brahmarpanam is spiritual oblations. Brahma Havir with spiritual instruments. Okay. Then Brahmagnav in spiritual fire. Brahmana Hutam by a spiritual person. Okay. Brahmaivatena Gantavyam. He will attain a spiritual destination. Why? Brahma Karma Samadhina. He is absorbed in spiritual activities. Is it clear? Fine. Very simple sloka. But I took one full day just to write these four lines. That's at least 8 hours. Because I was going through Prabhupada's purports, Chakvardipa's purports, Baldev Vidyabhushan purports. Right? So, a combined understanding. So, yajna is, as I said, is not just fire sacrifice. It is any activity performed to get certain result. So now Krishna will describe in the next several verses how one should perform yajna or how one should act with the result of attaining knowledge. Because the culmination of your karma yoga is jnana. You develop spiritual knowledge. Right? We discussed it earlier also. So, different people perform different activities or different yajnas. Okay? And as a result, they will acquire knowledge. So, different types of worship or yajna or sacrifice, Krishna will describe in the next several verses. So, we'll take a small break. We completed this section. Okay, thank you.